belong in the book of John, Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." We're going to learn a new song today. It is called Abide, and in the lyrics, we're asking the Lord to teach us to abide.
Would you teach me to abide? And Lord, that's what we ask of you, Lord, that you would teach us to abide in you. Lord, the truth is this morning, if each one of us is honest, Lord, we're not people who always abide in you. We're people who stray from you. We're people who are broken and make our mistakes, Lord. We sin against you. Lord, this morning we confess that before you, Lord. We confess that we are not the people we should be. But Lord, we praise you that in the midst of that, Lord, we have your grace. Lord, that we have your grace and your love that's poured out on us, that sent Jesus to die on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. And even today is working in each one of our lives. Lord, I pray that we would turn to you, Lord, that we would abide in you, that we would focus on you this morning, that we would grow in you this morning, that we grow farther and farther away from our sins and closer in our relationship with you. Lord, we praise you that we have this beautiful opportunity this morning to gather together in your church and in your house of worship to glorify your name. And Lord, we pray that we would take this opportunity to worship you and to grow to be more like you. And Lord, as we gather before you this morning, we also bring these requests before you. Lord, we have so many things just happening in each person's individual life. Lord, I pray that you would just touch the lives of each person here this morning. Lord, that you would work in our hearts as we go through different battles, Lord, and so many battles that I don't even know that each one of us is going through. Lord, I pray that you would be there with each person. Lord, you know every battle that people are going through. Lord, we do pray just specifically, Lord, we praise you just for Arlene's report that she's cancer-free, Lord. We praise you for that. We pray that you just continue to bless her. Lord, we pray for those who are suffering right now, Lord, and I do just pray for those who are healing and recovering, Lord. I pray for Cindy, Lord, as she's continuing to recover. Pray that you would be with her. Pray for Nancy Peterson, Lord, as she's recovering in rehab. Pray for Mike Baines, Lord, as he just has some upcoming doctor's appointments. Lord, we pray for Ron Guth's father, Lord, as he's recovering, Lord, and he's home now. We just praise you that he is able to be home, and Lord, that they're still able to take care of him. Lord, we just pray for a full recovery for him. Lord, we praise you that Patsy Fox is doing better, Lord, and she's recovering. We praise you that Juliet Fogg is recovering from her accident. Lord, we praise you that she's here this morning. Lord, we just pray that you would help her as she continues to recover. Lord, we praise you that Debbie DeHart's surgery was successful, Lord, and we just pray for her as she recovers and as she has upcoming doctor's appointments as well. Lord, we do just pray for guidance for her and for the doctors in that situation. Lord, we do just praise you that Bob Kuiker's hernia surgery was successful, Lord, and we pray for him as he recovers. And Lord, again, there's just so many other needs that we have, Lord, and we pray that you would meet each person here where we are and just bring healing to different people here. Lord, we do just pray for our church, Lord, as we are approaching the holiday season and it starts this Wednesday night with the Thanksgiving Eve service, Lord, and we praise you that we have the opportunity to gather and just spend some time thanking you for all that you've done for us. Lord, I pray that that would be a blessed time for each person who attends, Lord, and for the Pi Fellowship afterwards, Lord, that it would just be a time of fellowship with each other. And Lord, we do just continue to pray for our missionary of the month, Lord, Teen Haven. We pray that you'd bless their ministry, bless them as they just reach out and just have an impact in their community, Lord. And there in central Pennsylvania, Lord, we just pray that you would just help them as they reach teens. And Lord, we do just pray just for all the different ministries that we have here as a church and that are happening around us, Lord, in our community. Lord, we do just pray that people would grow closer to you. Lord, we pray ultimately that that those within our community, those within our state, that those within our country would hear about you, that your word would go forth from Christians, from people who are bold for you. And Lord, we pray that people would come to an understanding of you. And Lord, we pray that would start right this morning, Lord, in our hearts, Lord, that we would grow deeper in our relationship with you. We just pray as we continue the service that you would be honored and glorified. We pray these things in your name. Amen.
Let's continue to worship in song, and as we sing, children in first through third are dismissed for youth church. Please stand.
If you would like to Ecclesiastes 9, I will be reading from verses 11 through 18. That is Ecclesiastes 9, verses 11 through 18. I have seen something else under the sun. The race is not to the swift, or the battle to the strong. Nor does food come to the wise, or wealth to the brilliant, or favor to the learned, but time and chance happen to them all. Moreover, no one knows when their hour will come. As fish are caught in a cruel net, or birds are taken in a snare, so people are trapped by evil times that fall unexpectedly upon them. I also saw under the sun this example of wisdom that greatly impressed me. There was once a small city with only a few people in it, and a powerful king came against it, surrounded it, and built huge siege works against it. Now there lived in that city a man, poor but wise, and he saved the city by his wisdom. But no one remembered that poor man. So I said, wisdom is better than strength. But the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are no longer heeded. The quiet words of the wise are more to be heeded than the shouts of a ruler of fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good.
Let's open up the word of prayer. Lord, we praise you now for your word and for this opportunity that we have to come before your word to learn just some practical life wisdom, Lord, on how we should live. And Lord, I pray that we would take it to heart, that we would be transformed, that we'd become more and more like you. Pray all these things in your name. Amen. So how many people here like roller coasters? Okay, good. Can anyone tell me what this roller coaster is? Kingda Ka, there you go. Kingda Ka at Six Flags here in New Jersey. When it came out 17 years ago, it was the tallest, fastest roller coaster in the world. They actually just announced that they are taking it down to this off-season. It's over. They're decommissioning it. And the reason that they're decommissioning it is because it's cost them a lot of money in maintenance and repair. And here's the thing. I'm a big roller coaster person, and I have never been on Kingda Ka. And here's why. Because when it first came out, I visited the park about three times the summer that it came out. And each time that I was out, it was shut down for maintenance for 3 hours each time. And I said to myself, this is the tallest roller coaster in the world, it's the fastest roller coaster in the world, and it breaks down a lot. That's not for me. Hey, I'm not going to be on now. I know some people here have probably been on it, and it's been a great ride for many people. But I just didn't want to risk it. And you know, in life, there's a lot of risk. Now, certain risk is better avoided. Certain risk is stuff we have to deal with in life. But everything in life comes with some level of risk. Some level of unknown. Some level of we don't know what's going to happen next. So the question that we want to ask this morning is, how do we live in the unknown? How do we live when we don't know what's going to happen next? How should we live our lives? We're continuing our series in the book of Ecclesiastes. We've been working through the series, and we're going to actually wrap up the series next week. Next week is where the preacher's going to reach his conclusion. But before he gets to his conclusion, he wants to talk about one more topic here in Ecclesiastes 9 and 10, and then the beginning of chapter 11. That's what we're going to look at this morning. And he asked this question, and the question is, how should we live in life when we don't know what's going to happen next? And that's what we're going to ask this morning, is how do we have wisdom in the unknowns in life? So he starts by talking about the unknowns in life. He starts by talking about the fact that we don't know what's going to happen next. In Ecclesiastes 9, starting in verse 11, this is what he says. He says, again, I saw that under the sun the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to the intelligent, nor favor to those with knowledge, but time and chance happen to them all. For man does not know his time, like fish that is taken in an evil net, or birds that are caught in a snare. So the children of man are snared at an evil time when it suddenly falls upon them. So he starts off with this statement, and the statement is, right, it's kind of counter what we would normally think. What we would normally think is, hey, the fastest person wins the race. The strongest person wins the battle, right? The rich get more stuff. That's our traditional statements would say, but he goes against that. He says, not always, right? Sometimes the fastest person doesn't win the race. Sometimes the strongest person doesn't win the battle. Sometimes things don't go the way we planned them. He says, because time and chance happen to everyone. Time and chance are always there. We always live life in the unknown. Chance is always upon us. Take 2002, the Winter Olympics, for example. And there's a man by the name of Stephen Bradbury. He was from Australia, and he was a speed skater. And in the speed skating final race, he was in dead last. There were five racers, and he was in last. And he wasn't just in last by a little bit. He was in last by a lot. And he was definitely not the fastest person out there. But what happened was, on the very last turn of the race, everyone in front of him wiped out. And what happened was, because he was so far behind it, he didn't get caught up in the wipeout. Because he was so far in last place, he was able to go around everyone else, and he won the race. He won the gold. And he said, but he wasn't the fastest out there. No, he wasn't. But the race wasn't won by the fastest. Chance happened, and he ended up winning. And we see that all the time in life. Take in 2009, for example, there's a man by the name of Donald Peters. He was a 79-year-old man. And he was playing the lottery. He bought some lottery tickets, and he won the lottery. He won $10 million in the lottery. But before he found out that he won, because before they had announced the winning numbers, he had a heart attack, and he passed away. And his wife found the tickets, and she won the $10 million. time and chance happen to everyone. Right? We're always caught up in this world of we don't know what's going to happen next. There's a lot of things in life that we don't know. Right? In verse 12, it says, a man does not know his time. If you jump to chapter 11, we're told a bunch of other things that we don't know. In verse 2 of chapter 11, we say we don't know when disaster is going to happen on some people. In verse 5 of chapter 11, we're told that we don't know the way that the spirit comes into the bones in the womb of a woman. In other words, we don't know how human life happens in the womb and how the spirit comes upon people. And it also says in that verse, you don't know the work of the Lord. We don't know the work of God. In verse 6, it says, you don't know what's going to prosper in life. There's a lot of things in life that we don't know, right? And we have to understand that. It's important that we come to an understanding in life that there's things that we just don't know. So what do we do in those moments? Because that's kind of scary, right? Because we have different moments in life where we just don't know what's going to happen next. Maybe it's something as devastating, right, as two hurricanes hitting the southeast coast of America and doing $50 billion of damage each hurricane. A lot of damage. We just don't know. Or let's make it a little bit more personal for us. We don't know what's going to happen on any given day. We're at any point in time one phone call away from our world being flipped upside down. Right? That one phone call from your boss saying he has to let you go. Or that one phone call from someone you care about saying they just had a health diagnosis. Or that one phone call saying, hey, something happened to the house. It's on fire. Or it got flooded. Or the roof caved in. Or one phone call from your own doctor saying, hey, the test results came back. At any point in time, we're one phone call away from our lives being flipped upside down. We don't know. We don't know what's going to happen. The opposite's just as much true, right? We could get a great phone call. We get a phone call saying someone we care about is pregnant and is going to have a kid and we rejoice with them. Or we get a phone call saying, hey, you got that promotion. And we can be so happy. But at any point in time, we're living in this world where we don't know what's going to happen next. So how should we live in that type of unknown? Well, the Bible gives multiple answers. I want to give one answer that the Bible as a whole gives, and then I'm going to focus in on the answer that the preacher wants to give. But the answer that the Bible as a whole gives is to trust the Lord in the unknown. In Matthew chapter 6, as Jesus is talking, he says, you know, don't worry about tomorrow, because you don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. God's in control of it. He's the one who takes care of the birds of the air. He's the one who takes care of the lilies of the field. He is in control. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And then in that section, he says in Matthew 6, verse 34, he says, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious about itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. In other words, let God worry about tomorrow. Trust God with tomorrow. You worry about today. And it's important that we say that is kind of the Bible's biggest answer to how do we live in the unknown. But here in Ecclesiastes, the preacher gives us another answer. And it's important that we talk about the second answer too. And the second answer is to live with wisdom. And he gets into that in verse 13 of Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 13. He says, I've seen another example of wisdom under the sun, and it seemed great to me. There was a little city with a few men in it, and a great king came against it and besieged it, building great siege works against it. But there was found in it a poor, wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city. Yet no one remembered this poor man. But I say to you that wisdom is better than might, though a poor man's wisdom is despised and his words are not heard. The words of the wise heard in quiet are better than the shoutings of a ruler among fools. Wisdom is better than the weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good. So the preacher paints for us this picture, right, of this little town, right? And this little town has the unknown hit it, right? And the unknown, in this case, is this strong king with a mighty army who wants to come take him over. And they say, what? Like, we weren't prepared for this. We weren't prepared for battle. What are we supposed to do in this situation? And what happens? It says that a wise man stands up. And a wise man delivers the city because of his wisdom. And then the preacher tells us something important. He says, wisdom is better than might. Wisdom is better than the weapons of war. In the unknown, when you don't know what's going to happen, wisdom is going to be what matters. And we don't know what the unknown's going to be in life, right? We have a lot of different unknowns in life, but wisdom is going to be what carries us through. Wisdom adapts to the different environments that we're in. Wisdom's very flexible. It moves around with us. Now, the preacher does give us this kind of odd twist, because the preacher loves to do odd twists as he moves through Ecclesiastes. And the odd twist of the story is, at the end of it all, after this poor but wise man delivers the city, nobody cares about this guy anymore, and he gets neglected anyway. Because time and chance happen to everyone, and he ends up disappearing again. But the preacher still points to him and says, but wisdom's still better. It's always better to have wisdom than anything else. And that's the answer that we get, is we're supposed to have wisdom in the unknown. Now, the preacher then goes on in chapter 11 and into the beginning of, or chapter 10 and into the beginning of chapter 11, and he gives us some practical bits of wisdom for us to carry out as we're living life in the unknown. And we're going to look at those for the rest of the message. There's kind of three bits of wisdom that we can have as we live life. And the first bit of wisdom is, don't be reckless. In Ecclesiastes chapter 10, starting in verse 8, this is what he says. Ecclesiastes 10, verse 8. He who digs a pit will fall into it, and a serpent will bite him who breaks through a wall. He who quarries stones is hurt by them, and he who splits logs is endangered by them. If the iron is blunt and one does not sharpen the edge, he must use more strength, but wisdom helps one to succeed. If the serpent bites before it is charmed, there is no advantage to the charmer. So the preacher really quickly throws at us like five different pictures. So we have to kind of understand what all he's saying. He starts by talking about someone who's digging a pit, and typically back then they would dig a pit to try to either catch an animal, or sometimes they would do it to try to harm other people. But this person's digging this pit, but they're not doing a very good job of it, and they're kind of doing it rushed, and they aren't taking proper precautions, and what ends up happening, they fall into the pit that they dug. And then he paints this other picture of somebody who's knocking down a wall, right, doing some construction work, some demolition. But what happens? He never asked the simple question, what's on the other side of this wall that I'm about to knock down? And he knocks down the wall, and what's on the other side? A snake. And it bites him. And then we get this picture of this person who's breaking stones, quarrying stones, and this person who splits logs. And in both situations, it says that they're in danger. Why are they in danger? Because they're not taking the proper precautions that they need to. And in verse 10, it describes those proper precautions, and it talks about specifically with an axe, what you're supposed to do with an axe. What are you supposed to do? Make sure it's sharp, right? If the axe is blunt, what's going to happen when you're trying to swing it, break, and chop logs? First of all, you're going to need more strength, but second of all, it's going to bounce back at you, right? It's not going to do the appropriate job. And then the preacher then connects that with wisdom, right? He says sharpening your axe is like having wisdom to succeed. That we should take time and be wise about it. And then he gives one last illustration in verse 11, right? It says the serpent bites before it's charmed. It's somebody who rushes into dealing with a snake before the proper charming is done in order to make sure the snake does not attack them. They're reckless. In all of these situations, right, the person is proceeding recklessly and getting themselves hurt because of it. Instead, the answer, right, is sharpen your axe. Have wisdom with what you're supposed to do. There's a famous quote. It's attributed to Abraham Lincoln, although we're not actually sure if he even said it. But the quote goes like this. It says, give me 6 hours to chop down a tree, and I will spend the first four sharpening my axe. And the point that he's trying to make with that is it's better to take precautions before you start to make sure you're going to do things the right way, that you're not rushing into things, so that when you do the job, it gets done correctly. And this is important for us to know, right? Especially in a world of unknowns, especially in a world where we don't know what's going to happen next, don't rush into things. Don't be impulsive. Don't jump into something before you're ready to handle it. Now, I will say that in America today, we are an impulsive country, right? We love to just do things based off our feelings. We love to just act, right? In fact, this week is like the number one week to that, because this weekend, next weekend, we have Black Friday, right? And Black Friday is all about impulsiveness, right? They say, hey, here's this sale, and it's only going to be for today. If you want this thing, here's the sale, go buy it. And we say, well, I don't know if I'm ever going to get that price again. Maybe I should buy it. And maybe it was something that we never even thought about buying before. But we were like, you know, I could really use that. And impulsiveness kicks in. And we buy something, and sometimes, maybe you've been in this situation, maybe you buy something because of a deal, And then you realize like 3 months later, hey, I never once used this thing. And you reflect on it, and you're like, man, I know I got a deal, but I still spent money, right? I still spent money on it, and all these months later, it's something I'm not even using. Now, I'm not saying don't shop on Black Friday. If it's something you know you're going to use or something you know you want, then go get it and get the deal in order to get it. But don't buy something just because of the deal, right? Because sometimes the impulsiveness can lead us to wasting money. But that's just, you know, one example. Money's just one example. But there's a lot of other examples in life, right? Of times that we rush into something and we end up regretting it. And we step back months later and we say, man, I wish I hadn't just rushed into that. And this can look like a lot of different things, right? Sometimes it's rushing into, an opportunity at work that ends up not being the right fit. Or maybe it's rushing into a relationship with somebody that just doesn't seem to work out. Or maybe it's rushing into just doing something that, you know, you probably shouldn't be doing, but you have this opportunity and you just jump right in. That's dangerous. Now, I do want to say that there's two extremes here, and we have to be careful of both extremes. The one extreme is rushing into something without taking proper time to analyze and to have wisdom, but the other side is also true, and that's spending so much time not doing something because we're scared of what could happen that we don't take any action at all, right? And I'm going to talk about the second one later in the message because it's important that we're still called to act, right? We're still called to do things, but we shouldn't do things rushed and recklessly. So how do we prevent that? How do we fight against that? We seek wisdom. We seek wisdom in God's word and what he has to say for us. We seek wisdom in advice from other believers around us, people who we know we are following after God or who are going to direct us in life towards God. We seek wisdom from people who know the situation, people who are aware of what's going on. We step back, we say, let me just have wisdom for a moment before I rush into things. Because we don't know what's going to happen. And the best thing that we can do is to have wisdom. That's the first bit of wisdom that the preacher has for us. Is don't be reckless. Don't rush into something. The second bit of wisdom that he has for us as we live life in the unknown is to watch our words. If you look in verse 12 of chapter 10, Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 12, this is what it says. The words of a wise man's mouth win him favor, but the lips of the fool consume him. The beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness, and the end of its talk is evil madness. A fool multiplies words, though no man knows what is to be, and who can tell him what will be after him? So the picture that we then get painted, right, is this person who's using words, and you can either use words well like a wise man or words like a fool, and in verse 14, he connects it to the fact that we don't know what's going to happen next, right? So he says, watch your words because you don't know what's going to happen next. We live in the unknown, so be careful with your words. Now, the Bible talks a lot about our words and how important they are and how impactful they are on the people around us. James 3 spends a lot of time talking about our words. He compares it to the rudder of a ship. And says, you know, they have this huge ship, but what directs it is this small rudder, and that small rudder directly affects where the ship goes and has complete control over the ship. And he says it's the same thing with our tongues and our words that we have to say. They're going to direct our lives. And then he gives a second example. And the second example is a fire that happens in a forest. And he said it starts by just one spark. And that is our mouths, our words, saying something that they shouldn't say. And that can cause damage. It causes a ton of damage. In verse 13 here in Ecclesiastes, it says the end of its talk is what? Evil madness. That's where we end up. Evil madness. Our words have an impact. And our words are powerful. We need to understand the importance of our words, how powerful they are, and how that can be a great blessing, but it can also be something that we need to be cautious about. So how should we use our words? In verse 12, it starts it with, right? How does a wise man use their words? Graciously. In the ESV, it has the words of a wise man win him favor. Most other translations have the word gives grace, and I like that word better because that actually more accurately, I think, represents the original language. That a wise person, their words give grace to those around them. They're just a great blessing to those around them. Have you ever had someone in your life that's just a joy to talk to? That, you know, just, you know, every time you get a chance to talk to them, you walk away and you're like, that was just a great chance I had to talk to them. You know, I've had people here that I've called because they've had health problems. Even here within the church, I've called, they've had health problems. And as I'm talking to them about their health problems, I hang up the phone and I'm like, wow, that was just a great conversation. Like, I just really enjoyed that conversation. Have you ever had someone like that? But is the opposite also true? Have you ever had someone who you talked to, and at the end of that conversation, you were just like, man, I could have saved a few minutes not talking to them, right? It would have left me feeling better, right? Talking with them brought me down. And we're called to be like that first group, right? We should be people who are gracious with our words, that when someone talks to us, they walk away feeling, hey, I feel better. I feel improved. I have something more to think about. I feel like the conversation led me forward and not backwards. Ephesians chapter 4 tells us this. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, it says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may, what? Give grace to those who hear. Our words need to be words that build other people up, that encourage other people, that strengthen other people, that direct people to God, that show grace to those who hear our words. That's how a good person uses their words. But how does a fool use their words? Here in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 14, it tells us how fools use their words. And what do? They talk a lot. They run their mouths. It says a fool multiplies words, though he doesn't know what he's talking about. He doesn't know what's to be, right? A fool just likes to run his mouth, and we should be cautious about that, right? We shouldn't be quick to run our mouths. There's an old quote that says, wise men speak because they have something to say. Fools speak because they have to say something. And we shouldn't be like that. We shouldn't be people who just speak because we have to say something. We should be people who speak because we have something to say, right? Because our words are going to have a positive impact. And we need to be careful about running our mouths, about multiplying words. What ends up happening when we have a lot of words, when we run our mouths too much? What typically ends up happening is we say something that we shouldn't. We end up sticking our foot in our mouths. And, you know, maybe what we say insults the person we're talking to, or maybe what we say disrespects somebody else, or maybe what we say, you know, hurts somebody, or hurts ourselves, or makes ourselves look like a fool. The book of Proverbs, chapter 10, 19, this was a verse that I actually memorized as a teenager, and it's really been a verse that's kind of stuck with me through time. It says, when words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. In other words, when you talk a lot, you're going to sin with your words. You're going to make mistakes with your words. Transgression's going to happen. So making sure you hold your lips at the right moments, that is wisdom. That's the prudent thing to do. We need to be quick not to run our mouths, but be quick to make sure that when we speak, it's going to be important. And we also get a second thing another thing that fools do. I want to jump down to verse 20. I haven't read that verse yet, but Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 20, we get this other thing that the fools do, and fools gossip, and they talk about people. And here's what it says in verse 20. It says, even in your thoughts do not curse the king, nor in your bedroom curse the rich, for a bird of the air will carry your voice, or some winged creature tell the matter. What does that mean? It says, don't go talking about people behind their back, especially if they're somebody in power, right? Because what's going to end up happening? They're going to find out. A bird will carry it. Now, not a real bird, right? It typically refers to somebody who goes and tells the person. And if we're gossips, that's what ends up happening. If we slander people behind their back, oftentimes what ends up happening is that person ends up finding out, right? And that's a problem. And that's especially, by the way, something that is a danger here in our community and within our church, where everyone is somehow related to somebody else that I'm not even quite sure all the relationships that happen within this church. But I'm constantly finding out, oh, this person's cousin. And I'm like, well, it's a good thing I'm not talking bad about people, right? Because I might be talking to someone that they're related to. And the truth is, right, we need to watch our words, what we say about people behind their back. We can't be quick to talk bad about people. Because what ends up happening is they find out, it hurts our relationship, it starts creating problems, they get hurt because of our words, and there's damage that happens. So we should be quick not to talk bad about people, especially behind their back. Here's another option. I'll just throw this out. What if we, as a church, what if we as people were quick to talk good about people behind their back? Wouldn't that be awesome? Like, wouldn't it be awesome if, like, you're talking with somebody and somebody else came up and you just said, hey, one of the things that I really like about that person is they always do such and such. And that just really makes me happy. And then if they do find out about it, what do they find out? Hey, we're praising people behind their back. We're talking well of them behind their back. We should be quick to do that, right? We should be quick to build each other up with each other, right? With other people. We should be quick to give good words of people and not quick to talk bad about people behind their back, because that can be damaging. It can actually break apart entire churches, and I've seen that happen. So we need to be careful with how we use our words. So that's the second bit of wisdom that we have here, right? The first bit is don't be reckless. The second bit is we should watch our words. But then the third bit of wisdom that we get as we live life in the unknown is we need to work. We need to work hard. In chapter 10, verse 18, this is what it says. Through sloth, the roof sinks in, and through indolence, the house leaks. So again, this is an unknown situation, right? Your house starts breaking down. It's going to happen at some point in time. You're not quite sure how it's going to happen, but I can guarantee you at some point in time, all your houses are going to start to have a leak in them, where the roof's going to start to have problems, or something's going to go wrong. And if we don't do anything about it, what's going to happen? It's going to get worse. The sloth makes things worse. Not working, not doing anything is just going to make things worse. Instead, we're told to work. We're told to get involved. We're told to do things. We're told to act in the world around us, even though we don't know what's coming. We should still push forward and do stuff. When we get to chapter 11, he talks more about that. In chapter 11, verse 1 and 2, we get a bit of financial advice. I'm sure you weren't expecting financial advice here on a Sunday morning from Ecclesiastes, but this is what we get. In verse 1 and 2, it says, cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Give a portion to 7 or even to 8, for you do not know what disaster may happen on earth. So he starts talking about, you know, casting your bread upon the waters. And what that means, and a lot of commentators agree on this, is what that means is invest your money well, right? Put your money into the right things, and it's going to come back to you. You're going to find it later. So we get this bit of wisdom about investing, right? Invest your money well. Invest in the right things. And then in verse 2, we get another bit of wisdom. And it's when you invest in a lot of different things. Don't just invest in one thing. We would call this in today's world, right, having a diverse portfolio would be the term that they use today. And it's don't put all your eggs in one basket. Don't put it all into one spot because you don't know what disaster is going to come. Any individual company is minutes away from bankruptcy. The wrong report comes out. The wrong product comes out, and they could end up bankrupt. So don't just invest in one company. Spread out your money. Invest in multiple things. And then he continues on. He continues on with this picture of a farmer. And I want to describe this farmer for a second. And the farmer is someone who is so caught up in what could happen that he doesn't do anything. So let's read what it says in verse 3 and 4 of Ecclesiastes 11. It says, if the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves on the earth. If a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it will lie. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. So we get this beautiful description in verse 3 of, hey, when the clouds are full of water, they're going to rain, and when a tree falls, it's going to stay there. A bit of wisdom for you, right? You can go home and tell people, hey, I learned today that when a tree falls, it's going to stay there. That's what I learned. Now, but that's what he's saying, right? When things happen, they're going to happen. When life happens, it's going to happen. But then in verse 4, he describes this person who is so caught up in what might happen that he doesn't do anything. It's the farmer who goes out and is watching the wind and saying, okay, how's the wind coming in today? What do the clouds look like today? And in doing that, he doesn't sow his crop. He doesn't reap his crop. He doesn't do what he's supposed to do because he's so caught up in what could happen and trying to guess what could happen that he doesn't act. I said earlier in this message that there's two extreme dangers that we can go. One is rushing into things recklessly, but the other is not acting at all because we don't know what's going to happen. And that's the picture that we get here. Somebody who is so caught up in what could happen that they don't do anything. And the preacher says that's not how it should be. In verse 5 and 6, he goes on. He says, as you do not know the way the Spirit comes to the bones in the womb of a woman with child, so you do not know the work of God who makes everything. In the morning sow your seed, and at evening withhold not your hand, for you do not know what will prosper, this or that, whether both alike will be good. So he says, listen, you don't know what's going to happen. There's so much in life that we don't know. We don't know what God's going to do. We don't even know the way life happens in the womb. And I love that statement, right? We don't even know what's going on in the world around us. But then in verse 6, he says, so what do we do with it? He says, in the morning, sow your seed. In other words, go to work. Do stuff, right? Get out there. Don't just live your life not sure of what's going to happen. Go out and do more. And in fact, do extra things. In the evening, don't withhold your hand, right? Keep going because you don't know what's going to prosper at the end of it all. We don't know what's going to happen next, so go out and do stuff. Don't be caught like the farmer just observing the clouds. But get out and do stuff. Now, this applies very practically to work, right? And to money and to work and things like that. But it also just applies to life, right? In life, we don't know what's going to come next, but we can't let that stop us from doing things. Think about your ministry with the Lord. Think about you know, serving the Lord in different ways. And you can so often say, well, I'm not sure how that's going to work. I don't know if I'm going to be good at this. I don't know if I'm not sure. What if I try to serve the Lord here in this area, in this ministry, and I don't do it well, and it doesn't work out? The preacher says, don't let that unknown stop you from doing anything. In fact, I would rather somebody who jumps in and says, I want to try this new ministry, and then comes to me a few months later and says, you know, it's just not working out for me, and I think I'd be better over here. I'm perfectly fine with that. Like, I'm okay with that. Come talk to me about that. But I want to see someone try, right? I want to see someone try to serve the Lord and get involved and try to put God first in their lives. Jump in. Do something. We can also apply this to sharing our faith with other people, right? And we can be easily caught in the unknown. What if they reject me? What if I share Christ with them and they're not interested? What if this? What if that? Just do it, right? Get into work. You don't know, in verse 6, right? You don't know what's going to prosper. I had the opportunity this week to talk to somebody who told me that they make a habit of handing out tracts to people. And you know, it's just kind of something that they do, right? That they just hand out tracts to people. But this past time, the past time that they handed out a tract to somebody, they got a call the next day from that person thanking them for the tract and saying, can I get together with you and talk? And you say, well, how many tracts did that person hand out prior to that? A lot, but you don't know what's going to work. And in this situation, somebody wanted to talk about it. And this person has the opportunity now to talk with this person and to talk about Christ with them. And it all comes because they were just willing to act, right? They were willing to do the first thing, to hand out a tract to somebody, to say, hey, I don't know if this is going to go anywhere, but I'm willing to take the first step. And that's what God wants out of us, right? Don't rush into things. Don't be reckless about things. But go out and do something for the Lord. And it may not work out, right? We live in the world of unknowns. We live in a world where time and chance happen to everyone. But go out and serve the Lord. Here's the point of this whole message, right? We live in the unknown. We live in a world where we don't know what's next. It can be very easy in those moments to be scared. But we can also look at this as a good thing, right? We can ask ourselves the question, hey, what's next in a good way? What does the Lord have next for me in my life? What's the next thing that's in front of me right now? So ask yourself that question, right? As you think about your life, ask yourself a simple question. What does God have you to do next? And you say, well, there's so much that I don't know. You're never going to know it all. But what does the Lord have for you next? And then take that step and trust the Lord, right? Trust that even though we don't know the future, we know who does know the future. We know who is in control of the future. That's the Lord. So trust Him with what comes next. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we thank you that you know the future, that there's nothing in this world that surprises you, that there's nothing in this world that catches you off guard. And Lord, we confess that we're not you, Lord. We don't know all of that stuff. We don't know what's going to come next. We know that time and chance happen to everyone. But Lord, I pray that in that moment, Lord, that we would trust you and that we would have wisdom, that we wouldn't be reckless, that we would watch our words, but that we would work for you, that we would get involved, that we wouldn't just stay on the sidelines because we're so caught in indecision. Lord, I pray that we would act first and trust you to move forward. Lord, I pray all these things in your name. Amen.
Even though we don't know what lies ahead in our lives, we need to know and trust that our faithful God will light our way. Please stand as we sing.
We live in a world where we don't know what's going to happen next, but we do know one thing. God is good. God is faithful. And we have him, and we can always trust in him. If you have something going on in your life and you're caught in the unknown, you don't know what's going to happen next, you don't know what the next step of your life is going to be, and you really want someone to talk to about it, to pray with you about it, we'll have people up front after the service who would just love to take a moment and pray for you and to talk with you about what you're going through. You know, we want to provide this because we care about each person here, and we know that we all go through things. And we want to give you that opportunity. If you just need someone to talk to, you can just be off on the side. It doesn't have to be anything special, but there's somebody here if you need to talk. And Lord, as we go out today, Lord, I pray that we would live life in the unknown, trusting you. Lord, there's so much in life that we don't know, but we do know that you're faithful. I pray that we would trust in you. I pray these things in your name. Amen.